You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, where each and every week we're talking about the Montreal Canadiens, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained. And we're here for episode 394 of Canadiens Connection, titled The Montreal Canadiens Are Surging and Pursuing Milestones. Sounds very intriguing. Yes, they are. They're really approaching some big things, and we're going to talk to you all about it today. First, when I say we, I should make some introductions. My name is Amy Johnson. I'll be your host for the show. And of course, I'm always pleased to be joined in the studio by my wonderful co-host. He's our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Mr. Rick Stevens. Happy Easter weekend.
Happy Easter to you and to our listeners. And happy Easter to the Montreal Canadiens who are... You know, there's what, 10 days as we record, 10 days till the end of the regular season. And the Montreal Canadiens are peaking at exactly the right time.
They definitely are. And not just as a team, but individual players as well. And it's an exciting time in the city of Montreal and for the Habs and their fans. And so let's break down for you exactly what we're going to talk about today, because I think you'll be pretty interested in this show. And we're auditing ourselves here this week a little bit.
Yeah.
Tell you a little bit more about that in a minute, but we're going to reveal some.
We always go out on a bit of a limb at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And it's time to
reconcile.
Yeah, do the report card.
But first, before we get there, in the first segment, our week in review, we'll walk you through the four games that the Canadiens played since we last met, give you a brief recap of all that game action, as well as talk to you a bit about where they're sitting in the standings, who's performing well, get you up to speed on the roster, and some exciting things that are going on with the roster. In the Habs prospect report this week, we've got lots of playoff talk, NCAA Frozen Four final news to tell you about, the CHL playoffs and Habs prospects that are taking part in that, as well as an update on the Laval Rocket and the Trois-Rivières Lions. And then in our second segment, that's where we tackle our big topic of the week, where we ask history in the making. A plethora of milestones for the Montreal Canadiens. We're going to look at the individuals who are having an outstanding season and some of whom are approaching some pretty major milestones for themselves, for the team in general, things like that. And then, of course, that's going to set us up to go back to our bold predictions that we made preseason about a number of questions that Rick had laid out for he and I to predict at the beginning of the season, and we're going to see how well we prognosticated. So if you were one of those who played along when we had that episode back in early October, then make sure you dig out your what you had said at that time as well. Because finally, then in the third segment, we're going to let you have your say, and we'll have a great Canadiens Connection question of the week for you to answer, plus some great responses from all of you for last week's Canadians Connection Question of the Week. So you'll want to be sure to check that out. All right. Well, last week, here's what has happened since we were gone. The Montreal Canadiens had themselves a week on the road. Let me tell you what. Saturday last week, it seems so much longer ago, but it was just last Saturday that they were in Nashville to take on the Predators. Montreal winning that one 4-1.
Yeah, we'll just stop quickly and pull out the notable things for these games. Mm-hmm. They did have a busy week. 4-1 for the Canadiens in this one. First star Ivan Demidov, a goal, his 16th of the year, and an assist, 2-point game for him. Lane Hudson, Caden Gooley had strong games. Tough game for Mike Matheson. If you look at the game score, he's on the bottom. I'd say a quiet game for Jacob Fowler. 23 saves for him, and despite being quiet, he was there to make the big saves when he needed to.
No time to celebrate that victory for very long, however, because they turned around and traveled right away to Carolina the next night to take on the Hurricanes. But despite playing one of the best teams in the league right now, on a travel back-to-back, Montreal still able to come out on top 3-1.
This game was kind of a carbon copy almost of the Hurricanes Canadians game that had been played in Montreal the previous week. Mm-hmm. This was all Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. They were all over Montreal, outshooting the Canadians 27-14 in the first 40 minutes. Overall, 35-18 were the shots on goal. First star, there was no doubt about this one. It was 34 saves, first star for Jakub Dobiš. He stole another win from the Hurricanes, 971 save percentage in this one. He was brilliant, just brilliant in this game. 3 points for Nick Suzuki, 2 goals and an assist. And Arber Xhekaj was back in the lineup, except he was lining up as a forward on the fourth line, had a blast. Said he really enjoyed it.
He really liked forechecking.
Yeah. He got pumped up for that. And with the win for Dobiš, he passed Carey Price and Patrick Waugh for most wins in a season by a Canadiens rookie goaltender.
Wow, that's fantastic. So Tuesday night, the good vibes continued as the Canadians continued their road trip down further south to Tampa Bay, taking on the Lightning. And again, this was an important game for the conference, and they won it 4-1.
Again, let me just repeat what I said about the Hurricanes game. Jakub Dobiš, first star. Again, stellar, brilliant. 36 saves in this one, 973 save percentage. Much closer than what it looked like on the scoreboard. Yeah. The Canadians had 2 empty netters in this one. The only goal allowed by Dobiš, you got to put all over Noah Dobson for Jake Gensel to come around. Jake Gensel's not a big guy, and for him to physically fend off Noah Dobson and come around and score, that was, and Mike Matheson took a weak wave at the end. Not a good look for the Canadiens' first pairing defense there. This one got a bit rough in the third. There were 21 roughing penalties, not in the game. In the third period, 42 minutes of roughing penalties handed out in the third period, including near the end of the game where everybody on the ice got a roughing penalty. Except for the goaltenders.
We'll talk later about what's coming up this week, but Tampa Bay and Montreal will be visiting each other again this week, so I imagine some of that might carry over. Finally, they wrapped up their... this portion of the road trip, they still have one more game on the road tonight, but this portion of the road trip they wrapped up with a visit to Madison Square Garden to take on the New York Rangers. This is one that was a lot closer than it needed to be, but Montreal did still manage to eke out the win of 3-2.
Yeah, with the, you know, the Canadians had been facing some of the best in the NHL. This should have been a relatively easy game for them. It looked like they were playing down to the level of their competition. The New York Rangers were awful in the first 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. They were disinterested, loads of giveaways, and the Canadians were just playing sloppily alongside. They had two second period goals and were kind of coasting. To their credit, the Rangers in the third period came out and decided to play, scored two goals, tied it up, and then it was Cole Caulfield to the rescue with his 49th of the season, just around 5 minutes left in this one. Jacob Fowler, again, not terribly busy, 22 saves, but solid when he needs to be.
So when selecting your three stars for this week, I should not, neither should our listeners, be surprised that Jakub Dobish tops your list.
He did. And all Canadiens fans should be thanking him, because the reason that they're currently on the streak that they're on is Jakub Dobish. This week, he had two starts, two wins, .972 save percentage, 1.00 goals against.
Cole Caulfield coming in with your second star of the week.
In the four games, he had five goals, including, as I said, his 49th goal of the season, two assists, 7 points, perhaps more importantly, three game-winning goals this week.
Wow. And rounding out your three stars this week, you've selected Nick Suzuki as the third star.
He was on a two-point-a-game pace, 8 points in four games, three goals and five assists. That gives him the third star.
You did have an honorable mention, though. Had to get one more guy in there.
Ivan Demidov had a really good week. Mm-hmm. One goal, four assists, 5 points. He was a plus three and averaged about 15 minutes a game.
So through 75 games played, the Canadiens are boasting a 44-21-10 record. That gives them 98 points. They're sitting third in the Atlantic Division, sixth overall in the NHL. They are definitely in a playoff spot. They've won seven straight, including going 4-0-0 on the road so far, knock on wood.
Yeah, they have been surging, as the title of our podcast says.
99.9% chance of making the playoffs.
They're in.
I think they're in. 16th toughest remaining schedule for their seven games. Interesting that now added to their most difficult opponents. Tampa Bay, that doesn't surprise you. Columbus, that doesn't surprise you. The Islanders, that doesn't surprise you. Philadelphia. Philadelphia is making a case. Something has happened in the last 2 weeks with the Flyers, and they're not going away.
Yeah, they're playing pretty well. I think they've won seven of their last 10, something like that. This strength of middle of the road, 16th is middle of the road, mm-hmm. As far as strength of schedule. But these most difficult opponents are all either playoff teams or playoff adjacent kind of teams, being, as you said, Tampa Bay, Columbus, the Islanders, and the Flyers.
The interesting thing about that, too, is keep in mind that the Canadiens' final game of the season in the regular season is a road game in Philadelphia, and if they keep that could end up being a spicy game if Philadelphia is still fighting to get in. So we'll see how that goes. For the roster, on Monday, the Canadiens recalled defenseman Adam Engstrom from Laval. And I think a lot of people kind of said, okay, like, that's great. Why? Are we just tired of the current defensive core? Do we need a new look? Want to take a look at him? Well, Rick, we got an answer for that on Tuesday.
That's right. It was announced on Tuesday that Alex Carrier would be out 2 to 4 weeks with an upper body injury. So Engstrom came up, although oddly he didn't play at all, and not yet. We don't know. No announcements for Saturday night's lineup, so we don't know just yet if he'll be in the lineup or not. He's had a couple of call-ups. He's played 11 games so far with the Canadiens and hasn't looked out of place at all. With respect to the defensive pairings and whatnot, Very interesting, Arber Xhaka getting into the lineup this week, both as a defenseman and a forward, and being in the lineup as a forward, that was ahead of Patrick Laine. So as we've said, unless there's a big catastrophe, don't expect to see him play for the Canadiens again.
Mm-hmm. Kirby Dach has been skating on his own this week in Brassard.
Yeah, as we know, he was injured on the 15th of March. At that point, he was a 2-4 weaker. And so the window's starting to open for his return. Mm-hmm. Should be able to come back for a few games at the end of the regular season.
Some accolades for young Jakub Dobish this week. On Monday, the NHL announced that Dobish was the league's first star of the week for last week.
Yeah, Cole Caufield the week before was named third star. This week, it was Jakub Dobish. Not as the best rookie, not as the best goaltender, but the first star for the NHL for this past week. In three games, he won them all. 133 goals against, 962 save percentage, and that put him ahead Pavel Zacha, who was in second play, was the second star, and John Carlson, the third star of the week.
He also earned the Molson Cup honor for March from the Canadiens.
Won 7 of 10 in March, and that earned him the Molson Cup. Jakub Dobish has been fabulous during the month of March.
Definitely. And while they obviously haven't made any announcements about the roster yet for Saturday night's game in New Jersey, it is expected that Dobish will get the start on Saturday night against the Devils. And that, Rick, means that likely Jacob Fowler on the other half of the home and home back at the Bell Center against the Devils on Sunday night.
Yeah, both teams will travel to Montreal for the Sunday night game at the Bell Center. And that should mean it would be logical for Jacob Fowler to get the start then. Jacob Fowler, yeah, on Sunday.
And we don't know what the we don't know if there's going to be any changes on forwards, defense, that type of thing.
It's very secretive.
Don't ask. Marty won't tell you. So we'll just have to see who are going to be the extras. They have been Laine and Texier for forwards, and as you said, Adam Engstrom has not played yet since his call-up. We'll see if that changes on Saturday. All right, let's now check in on the Habs Prospect Report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Instead of highlighting one particular prospect this week, we want to get you caught off on all the prospects in playoff action. Starting with the NCAA, we know now who will be appearing in the Frozen Four finals, which includes the four teams that are going to play in the semifinal. And then the two teams that will play the winner of those two games will face off in the final. Rick, seven, as we mentioned last week, we listed them last week. There were seven Canadiens prospects who started the NCAA playoff tournament. It is down to three left.
Yeah, and those three players will be facing off against each other as Michigan. That's Michael Hage with the University of Michigan. Will face off against the University of Denver in one of the semifinals. The Denver team includes Sam Harris and goaltender Quentin Miller, although it's unlikely that Miller will get into the lineup. And we'll see about Michael Hage. We know that he missed the first game of the the regional semifinals against Bentley. So hoping he is 100%, you can probably count on the fact that if he can go, he'll be playing in the semifinal, and then if they move on, the final. Mm-hmm. Those happen the 9th and the 11th. Thursday is the 9th, and that's when you'll find the Michigan versus Denver game.
Definitely, and the final then will be on the 11th. Taking place in Las Vegas this year.
So Michael Hage, theoretically could still be available to join the Canadiens for a regular season game or two.
Mm-hmm. Have to wait to see what happens. In the CHL, their playoffs are underway as well. Six Canadiens prospects began the CHL playoffs. Two of them have since been eliminated since the playoffs began, but four are still alive and kicking. And so here is what we've got. Rick, we've got Owen Protz, defenseman for Brantford Bulldogs. He is in the playoffs, still alive, and they're still going.
Fourth round pick by the Canadiens in 2024. Owen Protz, we told you last week, signed his ELC. Brantford is an absolute powerhouse. They're expected to go far, and they had little issue, sorry, Mike Raschel, with the Sudbury Wolves sweeping them in four games.
Definitely. Moving on is defenseman Andrew McNeil playing for the Kitchener Rangers.
Yeah, Kitchener beat Saginaw, also a sweep, 4-0. Andrew McNeil playing for Kitchener. He was a sixth-round pick by the Canadiens in 2025.
Moving on, those two were OHL. In the WHL, we have Hayden Papanakis for the Kelowna Rockets. Moving on.
You remember Hayden Papanakis, that was one of the Canadiens' rare large player selections. He's the 6'5" athlete that plays for the Kelowna Rockets, plays on the third line. Kelowna swept their tournament against Kamloops 4-0, and so they'll be moving on. Hayden Papanakis obviously moving on as well.
Also in the WHL, you better darn believe that defenseman Bryce Pickford is still alive in the playoffs. He and his Medicine Hat Tigers. However, Rick, the first of these series that we're going to talk about that wasn't a sweep.
Medicine Hat is up over Regina, the Regina team, 3-1. I think that next game is... I'll have to check. I think it's today. Okay. Anyway, you know Bryce Pickford. We've talked about him a lot. Third round pick in 2025.
All right. Now, we will, of course, still mention the two prospects who started the playoffs, but their teams have been since eliminated. Defenseman Carlos Handel, and it happens to be that they're both from the Q. Defenseman Carlos Handel playing for the Halifax Mooseheads.
Mooseheads eliminated by Chicoutimi in a sweep, and Handel was a sixth-round pick, 2025.
And playing for the St. John Sea Dogs, goaltender Arseny Radkov, they also no longer in it.
Yeah, eliminated by Moncton, the Wildcats swept that series. Radkov, third-round pick, 2025.
So, good luck to the four Canadiens prospects who are still going in the playoffs in the CHL. Looking forward to seeing how many of them continue to advance. Over in the AHL, switching to pro hockey, for the Laval Rocket, they had a tough week. Hunter Shepard made his first start for the Laval Rocket last Saturday. Unfortunately, they were on the road visiting Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins, and they dropped that game 3-1. Kaapo Kähkönen got the start on home ice last night, on Friday night, against the visiting Calgary Wranglers. And as our dear friend Patrick Williams, the AHL guru, said on Twitter, just because you're out doesn't mean you're done. Calgary, I believe, probably not going to make the playoffs, but they put a hurting on Laval on Friday night, beating them 5-2.
Yeah, so a light week for Laval, but a losing week, both of their contests. You don't want to blame the goaltending, but Kaapo Kähkönen with 15 saves against Calgary, Hunter Shepard, 21 saves. They're falling back a bit, and it was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I said, yes, Laval's sitting pretty and have been at the top of the North all season long, but watch out for the Syracuse crunch. And now, with five games remaining, Syracuse is just 1 point back of Laval, And Syracuse has a game in hand.
So we'll see. For Laval, they play Calgary again today. And then they've got two games with Belleville and two games against the Marlies, the Toronto Marlies. So they've got five games left. We'll see how everything shakes out. Trois-Rivières, I think it's going to be a disappointing season for them, particularly the reigning Kelly Cup champions really had a difficult time of things this year. They're not done yet, but they are sitting at fifth in the North Division, 15th overall in the ECHL. They're not sitting in a playoff position right now, and they've got a ways to make up if they were to try to squeak in.
The way it works in the ECHL, the top four teams in each division make the playoffs. As you said, Trois-Rivières is fifth in the North. They're 7 points behind Adirondack now. If you want to look at the positive side, Adirondack have lost five straight games, so
there's that.
There's still a chance. There's still a chance. But a lot of points to make up in not very many games, just seven games left for the Lions.
Just one bit of general hockey news that we wanted to touch on because, no one asked him to, but Toronto decided to make it sort of about the Canadians as well. We know that the Toronto Maple Leafs fired GM Brad Treliving earlier this week. Keith Pelley, president and CEO of MLSE, came out to do a media availability on Tuesday to discuss it. And Rick, he had a very interesting quote in that, in discussing, what has gone wrong for Toronto this season. And he said, quote, "We definitely didn't see the train coming, which was the Buffalo Sabres and the Montreal Canadiens, and how strong those two teams are. Buffalo and Montreal have shown that they're young, energetic teams who are going to be here for a long time," end quote. And my question is, what does that have to do with your team being bad?
Yeah, first of all, how you didn't see, and he was talking on behalf of the organization. Not just him. Didn't think that the Montreal Canadiens were going to, with all their young talent, were going to be the train coming along. But if they knew, if somebody had a clue in the organization, what would they have done differently?
Well, that's what, yeah.
Like,
it doesn't have anything to do with.
How would that cause them to play differently? How would that cause them not to suck as badly as they have this year? The whole thing, and then he went on to talk about specifically name Sabres prospect Mirka, and a Canadiens prospect. He called him Hagee, Michael Hague. He butchered the name of one of their own prospects. It was, and you saw the headlines after, disaster, catastrophe, he should just stay out of it. He's the president and CEO of MLSE, and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, they got a lot of teams. They oversee the Leafs, the Marlies, the Argos, the Raptors, the soccer team, and whatever else. He should just hands off. He should... Yeah, they have, I didn't know until this week, they have six assistant GMs. What are they all doing? And it was, I think he rankled the teams as well, specifically Montreal and Boston, or, sorry, Buffalo. And it was Darren Dreger that said, quote, "Montreal and Buffalo didn't love that Keith Pelley was talking about their players, talking about Michael Hage and Radomirka." And you know what? Good on them. Have fun.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Stay where you are.
Yeah.
And going next year, just we'll pass on a tip for them. Ottawa is probably going to be better. Florida, now that they're over, or they will be over their injuries and whatnot, expect them to be better. Just a little heads up. By the way, that has nothing to do with how you play.
Exactly.
Anyway, bizarre.
Very bizarre. All right, we're going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. And when we come back, we are tackling our big segment, our big topic segment, History in the Making, a plethora of milestones for the Montreal Canadiens. And it's time to see how many of our predictions were right or oh so wrong for this season. You're not going to want to miss it, so stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, visit HabsHockeyReport.com and click the Join Our Team tab today. In every city around the world, sports fans flock to popular watering holes to share a few pints, some good grub, and to cheer for their team. Think your favorite sports bar deserves to be recognized? Or are you traveling to a new place and need to find the perfect spot to watch a game? HockeyPub.com is the answer. Find out where the best spots are in your city to eat, drink, and meet fellow fans. HockeyPub.com. Want the latest Habs news with game previews, reviews, and highlights? How about full coverage of development camps and special events? Looking to follow the Laval Rocket more closely this season? Or perhaps you'd like to learn more about team prospects? The Rocket Sports Media team has what you're looking for at thn.com/Montreal, the place where you'll find everything you need to be the most informed and connected Habs fan around. That's thn.com/Montreal.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. And with me, of course, here in the studio is our wonderful co-host, the president and founder at Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. If you're not doing so already, make sure you're following him on Twitter because he mans our main account here for our entire network. That would be at Rocket Sports. Make sure you're following him. You can also follow this particular podcast. The Canadians Connection podcast has its own accounts. The handle is at Habs Connection, and that's on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Just a reminder to also subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. If you didn't know, we are here 52 weeks a year. We put out a new show even through the off season. So make sure you subscribe. We don't ever want you to miss an episode. And we're getting really close to a milestone of our own here on the show.
Episode 400.
6 weeks from now. So make sure you've subscribed. All right. You know, before this season started, you know, when we were all looking ahead at this year's Canadiens team, you know, I think the expectations back then were pretty measured. We talked a lot about progress, development, seeing parts of the young core take steps forward this year, but not necessarily expecting big numbers, headline-grabbing seasons, that type of thing. But now here we are getting into the final stretch, and definitely it feels a little unexpected. Because now when you look around the roster, there's really some pretty significant milestones within reach. We're going to talk about some of them here in a minute. Suzuki is getting close to a big one. Caulfield is getting close to a big one. There's other young players who are really continuing to take meaningful steps in their development. And okay, so maybe the team hasn't become an overnight Stanley Cup contender. There are some real signs here, both in production and in overall growth, that suggests that something kind of important is starting to take shape with the Montreal Canadiens. And as we mentioned, it also presents a really good opportunity to review what we thought the season was going to look like back in October and compare that to what it's actually become. So I guess first let's start, Rick, with as you look at where the team is right now and some of the milestones that are within reach, does it kind of feel like this is a season that's gone beyond expectations?
Well, I think I think generally, yes. Certainly, I don't recall anyone who had the Canadians in the top five or six teams in the NHL. But certainly at the beginning of the season, expectations had taken a major bump after last year. That unexpected, that brilliant run after Four Nations, and the Canadians got themselves into a playoffs spot that really nobody expected. So fans came into this season with expecting that there would be at least a second straight playoff appearance. That was a minimum. And hopefully much more. Now, that was tempered, and we told you that you have to temper that with the fact that the Canadians were going to add a lot of talent to their lineup, but they were going to get younger. We knew that. We knew that they were going to be one of, if not the youngest team in the NHL. And even the young players who are going into their second year, you worried about the sophomore slump and all those kinds of things. So there was, you had to temper the expectations. And I think this season they've done much better than most expected.
So let's start with, let's talk before we go back and review our preseason predictions and see how they stack up now that the season is almost over. Let's first take a look at what some of these milestones are that are pretty special, that really give some indications of where this team is heading next year. And maybe even this year, we'll see. We'll start with Cole Caulfield, who currently is second in the league. And we realize that depending on when you listen to the show, he might have even gone further than this. But as we record, Caulfield is second in the league in goals with 49.
So that begs the question, will Mr. Saturday Evening, yes, Saturday Evening, will go by Carey Price's rules as he's the OG Mr. Saturday Night, will Mr. Saturday Evening score his 50th against the Devils on Saturday night? He's going to get there.
Yeah.
When will he score his 50th? And you've probably heard it before that it's been a long time since a Montreal Canadian scored 50 goals. The last one was Stéphane Richer, scored 51 during the 1989-90 season. And not that many Montreal Canadiens have scored 50 goals. You look at the list and you're going to find players like Guy Lafleur, Steve Schutt, Stéphane Richer that I mentioned, Boom Boom Geoffrion, Maurice Richard, Pierre Lerouche, with Steve Schutt and Guy Lafleur being the only two who would go to the next plateau, the next milestone being 60 goals. So Cole Caulfield, we assume he's going to reach that milestone, and he's going to join a pretty elite club, and he's going to, you know, equal that mark that hasn't been, that 50 goal mark that hasn't been equaled for many, many, many years. So this is a really big deal. The other thing that the other milestone, the other honor that Cole Caulfield is chasing, can he get past Nathan MacKinnon to win the Rocket Richard Trophy? And we know the Rocket Richard Trophy goes to the league's top goal scorer during the regular season. You might be surprised to know that it's named the Rocket Richard Trophy. Rocket Richard was the first NHL player to score 50 goals, but no Montreal Canadian has ever won the Rocket Richard Trophy. And that trophy has been in existence since 1999. So that would be a big deal. Cole Caulfield being the first Montreal Canadian to win a trophy that named after a legend that means so much to the folks in Montreal.
Definitely. Well, we'll all be waiting to see. As you say, it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when that happens for Cole to score his 50th. Nick Suzuki also approaching some pretty spectacular numbers.
So Will, he's close to the 100 point milestone, sitting at 94 points. And he's close to 30 goals, 27 currently. And that includes that empty netter the other night. You wondered if he would pass it off to Caulfield for the empty netter. We know Cole Caulfield still doesn't have an empty netter on his resume. But no, Nick's got his own goals. So he got a little closer to that 30-goal milestone.
Definitely. Speaking of the 30-goal milestone, what about Juraj Slafkovský?
He's just one away. He's at 29 goals. He has 67 points. So both the 30 goal mark and the 70 point mark would be important for Juraj Slafkovský.
Lane Hutson, Lane Hutson, of course, last year making headlines as the Calder winner, but he is having a pretty special season this year as well.
It's insane. First 70-point defenseman for the Habs in over 35 years. He is the third player and first defenseman in Canadiens history to record consecutive 60-assist seasons. Hutson is the third defenseman in NHL history to record multiple 60-assist seasons before his 23rd birthday. Who are the other two? Paul Coffey and Bobby Orr. Not too bad there. He set an NHL record for the fastest defenseman to score 30 multi-assist games. He achieved that in just 157 games. He has been remarkable. He keeps setting high marks. And where is he going to go? He's currently at 11 goals, 62 assists, and 73 points.
That currently has him as 10th in the league in assists and 4th among defensemen in points. Not too shabby for last year's. There's not been a sophomore slump for Mr. Hutson.
No.
Not at all. In terms of the rookies and milestones for the rookies, did you know that the Habs lead the league in goals by rookies with 39?
That's a remarkable stat and doesn't get shared enough. Rookie, we talked last week, and if you missed it, I'd go back for sure and listen to episode 393, CanadiansConnection.fm, how rookies, young players, rookies and sophomores, and are powering this very special season. Those 39 goals, of course, Kapanen, that second line, you're going to find a lot of them. Kapanen, 22 goals. Demidov, 16 goals. Don't forget about Owen Beck. He got his first NHL goal to tally up to the 39 goals by rookies this season.
That's fantastic. Speaking of Ivan Demidov, he's not doing too shabby himself. He is in the rookie category league-wide, first in points and first in assists.
And he's just one away from that 60-point milestone. So he's having a great season, and he's approaching some milestones himself.
Definitely. I said he was leading in points and assists. Well, what about goals by rookies? Oliver Kapanen tied for first.
Tied for first in goals by rookies. That's Oliver Kapanen, 7th in Montreal Canadiens scoring. That's terrific. And he's just a couple away from the 40-point mark this season.
And if you think that any other rookie goaltender other than Jakub Dobish is stealing the show, well, then you haven't been watching Jakub Dobish.
Jakub Dobish, most wins of any rookie goaltender. As I said, he's already passed Waugh and Carey Price during their rookie season. His record this season, 26-8-4. He's above 900, 903 save percentage and a 273 goals against in his career. That gives him a sparkling 33-12-7 record. And as we said, he's been one of the best goaltenders in the league during the month of March. Since early March, he's gone 7-2-0, 178 goals against, 942 save percentage. Jakub Dobish has done everything he can to power the Canadiens into this surge that they're having right now.
Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of people on this team. Regardless of what the team itself ends up doing between now and when they hold their exit interviews, there are a lot of individual performances that have been very special this year and have set records, have made history, both for the franchise and in the league, and they're not done yet. And there are possibly still more accolades coming and more records to be set. So that is a very exciting thing. And I don't think that when we sat down on, I believe it was October 8th or October 4th, it was probably October 4th, back in the fall, right before the regular season was going to start, I'm not sure that we thought that there was going to be that kind of a spectacular outburst of performance from so many different players on the Canadiens.
And I don't think, well, I know that the comments that we were getting at the time, on X, on YouTube, I don't think there was a lot of folks that believe the Canadiens could do what they have done already in this regular season.
So it's a good time for us to review the predictions that we made the week before the regular season started, see how many of them have already been decided. I will say there are a grouping at the end. If you listened to that episode, you'll remember we did a grouping of NHL predictions as well. We'll save those for a different podcast episode because we don't know the answers to a lot of those questions.
They had awards predictions and Stanley Cup predictions.
So we'll save some of those. But in terms of the Canadiens, let's just run through these. We'll remind you what we said. See what's happening right now, if we were right, if we were wrong. If you had your answers, pull them out as well. The first question that we had asked ourselves back then was, who will lead the Canadiens in points this season, and how many points will they record? Rick, you and I said two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not too proud to say that you will be right and I will be wrong.
Yeah, I had Nick Suzuki with 92 points. He currently has 94. He's going to be above that. Let's hope he gets to the 100 mark. So in the ballpark there, you had Ivan Demidov, and I liked the answer, 93 points, matching his jersey number.
I said I was going way out on a limb. I thought he was going to... Not that he's had a bad season.
He's had a great season,
But I said he's just going to absolutely explode. Well, that didn't happen, but hey, a girl could hope. All right, so that is put one in the Rick column, zero in the Amy column. Who will supply the offense for this season for the Canadiens? This was a four-part question. The first part of it was, will Cole Caulfield score more or less than 40 goals this season? Rick, you and I both agreed on this. We both said that he would score more than 40. I put a number on it and I said 45, and I thought that was a stretch, he's already beaten that.
Yeah, he's at 49, so we were both right, more than, mm-hmm. And you with your specific prediction, a little closer, perhaps, than me.
Part B, will Juraj Slafkovský tally more or less than 65 points in the NHL this season? You and I agreed on this as well. We both said less than 65 points. I specifically had him at 47 points.
Yeah, we had less than 65. He's at 67 now. I think he's been outstanding. He's had a breakthrough, and he's really figured out how to bring something different bring something different. I was going to say to the first line, but that's not true. Bring something different and needed to any line that he's been on, specifically the first or the second line. Mm-hmm. He's had a terrific season.
Part C of this question of who will supply the offense this season for the Canadiens, we asked, will Kirby Doc set a career high in points this season? I particularly like, I will say, I said no. I still wasn't buying it. I said he'd only have 27 points this season. I liked how optimistic you were. You said that it was yes, with the caveat that, well, I hope he will. He has to. We have to pray for it because it's his last opportunity.
Yeah, and I wouldn't call that, I remember that. That wasn't optimistic at all. It was, we have to will this to happen or he's done.
Yeah.
He has to make it happen. It's his last chance. Listen, he's been injured a fair bit, but 14 points in 32 games, it just hasn't been there. No. And the Canadiens, the Montreal Canadiens, have a big, big decision to make coming up.
That's right. Finally, rounding out this question, will Lane Hutson have more or less than 66 points this season? We both said yes.
Yeah, I said more than 70 points. You said specifically 73 points. He's at 73 right now.
Ooh.
So that's terrific. Is liable to
probably going to be
increase that. Yeah.
Question number three: over or under 125 penalty minutes in the NHL for Arbor Jacki this season? Now this, we both said that it would be over 125 penalty minutes. I specifically said 130. You said, and I agreed with you, that you said it's going to be over 125 penalty minutes because he's going to play more than he did last year.
Well, he's only played 58 games, and in those 58 games, he hasn't got very much ice time. And that's a disappointment. That's a disappointment for Arbor. That's a disappointment for a number of fans. And it's a bit of a surprise because, you know, until recently, there wasn't a lot of confidence in Struble either. And it's not like he was, again, until recently, outplaying him by any kind of margin. So that said, in those 58 games that Arbor Jacki has played, he has 110 penalty minutes. So pretty darn close.
Yeah.
To the 118 that he had in 70 games last season. So we would have been correct had he played more. Mm-hmm. He certainly... was on track. He leads the Canadiens in penalty minutes per games, 1.53 penalty minutes per games played. So he's capable of it, and who knows?
He could still get 15 more penalty minutes in the next
got
seven
some
games.
Time, yeah. So and they play Tampa again.
They do. It's possible.
Yeah. So we'll see.
We'll see. The second part of that question was, will he be suspended this season? We both said no.
We both said no.
Yeah, we both said no there. Question number four. Oh, the crystal ball, if only it had been so clear. Will Sam Montembeault start more or less than 55 games this season? We both said less. And I specifically said 50.
Yeah, we both said less, and as we know, it was a horrible season, awful season by Sam Montembeault, mm-hmm. awful from the get-go, from training camp, and yet the head coach kept putting him out there. And, you know, I understand he expressed his undying love for Sam Montembeault, and he couldn't bring himself to sit him because of their close relationship. But that was a dumb decision. Sam got 23 starts, was in 25 games. That was way more than his performance dictated. 343 goals against, 872 save percentage, which yielded him 10 wins. And to be honest, the team bailed him out many times. He didn't deserve those 10 wins. I was quite surprised on, I was listening to one of the Montreal media folks, respected media folks last week, who said, clear the board. It's a new season. When the season starts in training camp, Montembeau will regain his number one status and start that way in training camp. And I thought, wow,
no.
Sam Montembeau's done and has played his last game for the Montreal Canadiens. That should be obvious. But like Marty St. Louis, there's many in the Montreal media who just adore Sam Montembeau say the silliest, craziest things.
They do. Question five was, who will be the first player recalled for the Canadiens this season? Would it be Owen Beck, Adam Engstrom, David Reinbacher, or Florian Jacki? Now, you said emphatically it should be Owen Beck. I agreed with you that it should be Owen Beck. He would probably be the one to deserve it. And you also had the caveat of, obviously, they're not, if they need a defenseman because there's an injury, they're obviously not calling up Owen Beck. They're going to call up Adam Engstrom. But just in terms of if it was just based on merit, like who's going to be the first call up? You say Owen Beck. I agreed with you that it should be, but I said they're going to go with the popularity contest. And if you recall, out of training camp, everyone was riding real, real high on Florian Jacki. And so I went with Florian Jacki that they were going to want to kind of ride that popularity and bring him up first.
So there's just been a number of recalls from Laval and a variety of players, including Mark Delgazzo, if you remember that. Although he didn't get into a game, but he got a recall. Joshua got a recall. But the first player called up rather early in the season, October 17th was the date. It was Owen Beck. Mm-hmm. So I'm correct on that. Owen Beck was again recalled in December. Of course, Jacob Fowler's had a couple of recalls. Davidson, who else? Unfortunately, Florian Jacki didn't get called up. Neither has David Reinbacher to date.
No. Question six was, who will be the first player traded this season by Kent Hughes? Oh, if only.
Did you have Riley Kidney on your bingo card?
No.
No, didn't have that?
No.
That's, well, he traded a second round pick for Phil Deneau. But if you're talking about players, when he went to get a goaltender, Hunter Shepherd, the first player traded this season was Riley Kidney. And there's lots of people that aren't very happy, including one, Pierre McGuire, that the general manager stood pat, basically, at the NHL trade deadline.
Mm-hmm. You had lots of arguments for plenty of people who would have been good candidates to be the first one traded, but you settled on Jaden Struble. And I think I was just praying to the gods that it was going to be Mike Matheson. Obviously, neither of those things happened.
Who I found out this week, his nickname is Billy, which I don't really understand. But
okay. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, none of the nicknames that they went through a whole
litany of them.
Yeah, litany of, and how the nicknames have evolved. Mm-hmm. And it's Arbor Jacki and Cole Caulfield in the little videos. If you haven't seen it, check it out.
Question seven, will Ivan Demidov win the Calder Memorial Trophy, and will he reach more or less than 65 points this season? Rick, you and I both said yes, he's going to win the Calder. You said he's going to have 70 points. I said he'll, as I had said in the first question, I said he was going to have 93. I was shooting for the moon.
Well, pretty sure he's going to have 60 points. He's at 59 now. Whether he'll get to 70 or not, that's maybe unlikely. Possible, but unlikely. But
we can return to this question when awards have been given out.
Well, but he's had a great season. Yeah. He's had a terrific season, and Montreal rookies, as we talked about earlier, have had a terrific season. Mm-hmm. And who should get votes for the Calder? Well, Ivan Demida should get some votes. Jakub Dobish should get some votes. Oliver Kapanen should get some votes. They're not going to win, but they've all had terrific rookie seasons.
Definitely. And we know the season's not wrapped up yet, but I don't know that things are going to change very drastically for this question between now and the end of the regular season. This was on special teams. The Canadiens last season, 21st on the power play and 9th on the penalty kill. The question was, can they be top 15 in both categories this season? You said yes, that they could be top 15 in both categories, although you admitted that penalty kill, they would probably slide a bit, but thought that they could hold it within that top 15. I said, no, they can't be top 15 in both categories. Power play, yes, but I didn't think that the PK would be there.
And you're right. You got both of those right. It's funny because 21st on the power play last season, 9th on the penalty kill last season, those have almost flipped this year. I didn't think they would fall so much on the penalty kill. And even acknowledge that the loss of Joel Armia and David Savard and Christian Dvorak is a big blow, but I did not expect Mike Matheson to eat up 2 minutes of every penalty kill, be so bad on the penalty kill, and they've been awful on the penalty kill. 24th in the season power play. We were both expecting that to take a big jump. 21st last year, up to 5th this year. We expected the jump. They made the jump, and they need to figure out that penalty kill. It's been a little bit better recently, but the only reason it has, in my estimation, is because Jakub Dobish has been fabulous. Not that the penalty kill has improved much at all, but they had better figure it out before the playoffs start.
Question 9, will Kirby Doc be the Canadiens' second line center by April? And we both quickly said no.
Yeah, and I said he would be playing the wing, and when he's been in the lineup, for the most part, he has played the wing.
The 10th question had a bit of a setup. At the time, The Athletic was projecting that the Canadiens would finish in 16th place this season with 92.1 points, with a 51% chance of making the playoffs. So the question is, will the Canadiens finish the season with more or less than 95 points? And where will they finish in the standings? Now, we obviously don't know the second part of that yet. We don't know where they're going to finish in the standings. But we did both say that they would have less than 95 points.
Yeah. And you know, we might as well tie in the next question because it's related.
Yes. And will the Montreal Canadiens make the playoffs?
I said no, and you said yes.
And I said they'll just squeak in and they won't last long. But I did say yes.
Now, I was very concerned because they had gone through the previous year. They had a pretty good year with respect to injuries, and I was worried about injuries. In fact, I didn't even want to talk about it. I just expressed it as adversity. Off the podcast, I told you I was quite worried about an injury, a significant injury to one of the main players. And I kept coming back to Nick Suzuki and said, if that happened, they won't make the playoffs. If they have a healthy season, they will. But I was worried about an injury-riddled season to an important player and that they wouldn't. They haven't had, well, the injuries have come to the players that the kind of B or C players and haven't really had that much of an impact on them. So I'm pleased to be wrong in that respect, that they will make the playoffs.
That's right. And we can return to how many points they end up with and where they finish in the standings in a future episode. We had a bonus question. This is how we're going to wrap this segment up today. We had a bonus question back in the fall where we asked each other what did we think was going to be the biggest surprise this season for the Canadians. We'll start with what Rick said. Rick said he believed that the biggest surprise that was going to happen this season for the Canadians was that sometime during the season, Kent Hughes was going to be successful at acquiring a top six forward.
And that's correct. His name is Oliver Kapanen. And he was one of the biggest surprises for the Canadians this season as the second line center. He took it. He ran with it. He is the second line center.
He didn't acquire him this year.
Well, I'm mostly right there. I'll give credit to you. You had a very good surprise.
Well, it was hard to decide what I wanted to choose as what I thought was going to be the biggest surprise for the Canadians over the season. So I did two. I thought there would be a positive surprise, or what would be considered a positive surprise by Habs fans. And I had what I believed Habs fans would be considered a bad surprise. The good surprise, I said that Newhook on a line with Kapanen and Demidov would finally, that Kapanen and Demidov on that second line with Newhook would help Newhook rejuvenate.
And listen, was Slavkovsky better with Kapanen and Demidov? Absolutely. But has Alex Newhook had a good season? Yes, he has. Has he looked better with the two young players than he's looked in years? Yes, that's absolutely true. His injury kind of interrupted a good start to the season, and he's kind of finding his way back now. So I would give you full marks for that.
Well, I would take that. However, then we get to what I thought would be perceived as a bad surprise by Habs fans. And
it's been a good surprise. It's been a fabulous surprise. It's the reason the Canadians are where they are.
While I called it a bad surprise, it was, for me, this is going to happen, and I think this would actually be the good surprise, but everyone else will think this is the bad surprise. And I said that Sam Montembeau is going to fall off in play, go downhill, and Jakub Dovish is going to overtake him.
Exactly right. Congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
And it's, as I said, it's been a wonderful surprise. The Jakub Dobish, his performance, I've said it before, he carried the Canadians during December. And listen, he's had a tough time. Have the Montreal media been on his side? Absolutely not. No. They've ridiculed him at every opportunity. The fact that, the mattress business his crying and on to the point and even making up stories about his interactions with the officials, making them up from whole cloth. And it's been so much so that the Montreal Canadiens communication staff actually stopped Jakub Dobish from speaking with the media, that they were mean. Because they were cheerleading for Sam Montembeau, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he there was a timeout. It wasn't so much a timeout for Dobish, who's, he's unfiltered. He'll come before the media and say what he thinks. It was a timeout for the media to get their act together. And he's just started back on the road trip speaking to the media again after about a week off or so.
Yeah. So, believe it or not, Rick, we're pretty, in terms of who got things right, who got things wrong, we're almost dead even. So we kind of.
And I think, not to pat ourselves on the back, but I think given that it's been such a surprise season, I think we did pretty well to get as many as these correct.
Yeah.
When things could have gone a number of different ways, yeah. I feel pretty good about our prognosticating way back in September, early October.
I think so too. So we'll revisit a couple of those after the season is over. And there are five NHL prediction questions that we'll also get to after the season is fully over as well, that we had made back in October. Our question for you this week, it's time for you to answer something. We want to know which player's performance by a Canadian this season has surprised you the most. We're talking today about the team is surging, these individual performances. Which Montreal Canadiens player performance has surprised you the most this season? The way you can answer that is to send us a text at the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET. Again, 5853-ROCKET. You can leave a comment on Spotify if you're listening there. You can leave a comment on YouTube if you are watching there. Or you can hit us up on social media at Habs Connection, X, Facebook, or Instagram. We want to hear from you. Which player's performance, which Montreal Canadiens player performance has surprised you the most this season? All right, we're going to take our last break here on the Canadiens Connection podcast. On the other side, we are reading your best responses to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
The Canadiens Connection is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com. I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked-out hockey cave or fanning. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The Rocket Sports Media team wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to ShowYourHabs.com to see your entries, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network. If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us regarding this unique marketing opportunity. For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, log in to thn.com/Montreal. Your year-round source for anything Habs-related. That's thn.com/Montreal.
And welcome back to episode 394 of the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, tap the subscribe button. If you're listening on a platform that you can leave a review, whether it's a five-star review on Apple, if it's a... Actually, that's on Spotify. I think you can leave an actual review, a star review, and an actual like written review on Apple. Or if it's the like button on YouTube, whatever it is, if you could leave us some feedback, that's always appreciated. If you could share this episode, just tap that share button, share this episode with your social media followers on your favorite platform. Always goes a long way towards helping us out here on the show. Also, don't forget, get in your answers to this week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. Which player's performance on the Montreal Canadiens this season has surprised you the most? They'll be very curious to see what all of you think. Who has surprised you the most out of all the Montreal Canadiens this year? Last week, we asked you which young Canadiens player. Remember, we were talking about how the youth and the rookies have actually been driving the bus for the Canadiens this year. So we asked you which young Canadiens player has impressed you the most this season and why. And Rick, I'll let you start.
Sure. Who is the most impressive? This comes from YouTube, comes from one of our regular commenters, Pimaran Fidelt, says Slafkovský 100% has been impressive this year. No matter what line they put him on, he contributes to the team and helps get the team wins. Number two, that's Jakub Dobiš for most impressive. He bounced back from a little rocky start and has been on fire since then.
Absolutely. I have two quick comments that at Habanations on YouTube just wanted to reinforce that Robidaw will be an easy get. I think he means get rid of.
Yeah.
Robidaw will be easy to get rid of. I won't even have to try hard for this one. Go Habs, go. He's been on the get rid of Robidaw kick for a little while now. I can't say that we disagree. And then we had just a quick comment from at ZBlip22 who says, I like your show. Keep it up. Well, we like your comment, so keep it coming. We'd love to hear more from you next time. And any of you, if whether you're a regular commenter, an occasional commenter, or you haven't yet commented, we welcome whether it's your answers to the Canadians Connection question of the week, or if you have a question that you'd like our opinion on, or a thought that you want our opinion on. If you have an opinion you want to share with us and all of our listeners and viewers, we just encourage you, or if you just want to get excited and say, go Habs, go. We encourage you, send in your replies on YouTube, on Spotify, on social media, and we always pick the best ones and read them out on the show. Another busy week. It's another four-game week. Back-to-back four-game weeks for the Habs. That's quite a way to end the season. Starting with the end of the road trip tonight in New Jersey against the Devils. That's the first half of a home-and-home, because then Sunday night, the New Jersey Devils travel to Montreal, where they will both meet again at the Bell Center. And then Tuesday, Florida comes to town, with the Panthers taking on the Montreal Canadiens Tuesday night, and the Tampa Bay Lightning are in town on Thursday night. So not an easy week. We'll see how it goes. Lots of hockey action. Of course, we'll be back with our next podcast next Saturday, April 11th, the last weekend of the regular season next weekend, believe it or not. And until then, we just wish you a very happy Easter, whatever you choose to do. Hope the weather is great for you. Hope you enjoy the festivities. Enjoy all the hockey this week, and we'll see you again next week right here on the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.